Radio Renegade, with your host, Christian from Philly. Brought to you by WorldGenerationPodcastNetwork.com and in part by WrestleCorp.com. And now, Radio Renegade.
Hello and welcome to the revamped, reborn edition of Radio Renegade. That's right. We have redesigned ourselves, we have rebuilt this show, and we will reclaim the airwaves. And welcome to the new and improved Radio Renegades, where I am your host, Christian from Philly. And joining me, as always, my co-host of the night, please welcome my producer slash best friend, Minister of Sinister.
What's going on, bro? How are you doing tonight?
Good, my brother. We had a lot of things to talk about, including whoever won the predictions from this past Sunday's Stomping Shit Ground.
Oh, man. I'm just now reaching for that notebook right now where everything was at. What was this called? Shitting Ground. I do have right here, but I have not tallied the results yet. So the results will get tallied whenever we get ready for that segment. So I don't know how you want to do this, but
we'll
do have everything right here in front of me.
We'll do it when we get to that point. But first, right, before
brother,
we get to the show, we have a lot of things we got to talk about. The first being a certain superstar named Seth Rollins, who took upon himself on Twitter defending WWE against former Shield brothers Dean Ambrose. And let me tell you something, Minister. Seth Rollins has lost a lot of respect for the WWE fans because of his comments.
Wow. I did not look into that. I have not seen that. What did he say?
Well, remember, as you recall, Dean Ambrose, after he left WWE, has revealed some very shocking information about WWE itself, and Seth Rollins took it upon himself on Twitter to defend WWE. But that's caused a lot of controversy and a lot of loss of respect for Rollins at the same time. So, yeah, Rollins fucked himself over.
Said he's real proud of what I do every single week, not just Mondays, but every single Friday,
mm-hmm.
Saturday, Sunday. And I'm sure he is, but that's because he's the top guy.
How could he, let me ask you something. How could he be proud of what these subpar performances he's been doing? These performances he's been doing have been fucking subpar. They're not fucking all-star performances, all right? I mean, for fuck's sake, he literally had a main event match with Baron Corbin this past pay-per-view. How can you fucking defend yourself from that?
Yes. I guess I should reword that. I mean, I'm sure he's proud to be the top guy. I don't know about how proud he is with his work, but he's definitely proud to be the top guy and the guy to be the focus of the show. Obviously.
Oh, but he's not really... Oh, but Minister, he's not really, you know that. Deep down inside, he's not really the top guy. Because we all know who really is the real top guy. And that's fuckboy Roman. Seth Rollins is not, here's the reality, folks. And you know me for like a whole year already, and you know I speak the truth. And the truth is, you Seth Rollins fans, Seth Rollins is a figurehead. He's not the face. He's not the fucking top guy. He's just a figurehead for the real top guy, unfortunately, is Roman Reigns.
Oh, man. Well, yeah, I mean, that's it. You're right. You are absolutely right with that. He's the figurehead. He's the guy that he's just waiting. He's just carrying the load until they can in their eyes, hopefully we can get Roman over somehow. You know, and so, yeah, you're right. He's the figurehead.
Now, on other news, we have breaking news that Eric Bischoff and Paul Heyman are the new executive producers, or is it executive directors?
Executive directors, I believe, was the actual title they used.
Yeah. Either way, this is spelled the doom for WWE or the resurgence. I'm a little skeptical about this, Minister, because let's be honest, it's very ironic. Irony, if you will. You see, these two used to have their own companies until WWE destroyed them, and now Vince is relying on two people who he destroyed their company for help. That, my good friend, is called irony.
Look, I'm on the fence about it, too. This to me, this can only go – there's no in-between on this. It's going to go either really well or really bad.
May I remind you, before I let you continue, I'm going to give the fans an example. May I remind you that Eric Bischoff was in part of TNA at one point, and look how well that did. You think he could do well with WWE? I like to see him try.
They've got they've left such a bad taste in everybody's mouths right now. It's going to be hard to rinse it out, regardless of what they do. I was watching earlier today a podcast, if you will, but it was on a video from a writer for another website, and he was saying that he was acting like a WWE apologist for their bad attendance that they've had.
Yeah.
And he used one example, and that was the example of the bad attendance in Tacoma, Washington for the shit pay-per-view, for the shit grounds. And he blamed it on that it was originally just a house show that got turned into a pay-per-view. But he failed to mention, you know, I mean, I go to shows quite a bit, and the last show I went to, man, there was a lot of area that was tarped off. And so, they're not exactly selling, you know, they're not selling out the arenas, that's for damn sure. And that arena where had that Tacoma, Washington event for the shit grounds, that arena is actually a smaller arena. They don't even have a pro team playing out of that team. So it's one of the smaller arenas, and it was half fucking empty.
Can this idiot also explain why hardly no people are coming for Raw shows or SmackDown shows either? Can this idiot explain this too? Or is he just going to pull another excuse out of his ass?
I believe, from what I saw, and I kept on watching it because I wanted to see where he went with it, but I believe he would just pull out another excuse out of his ass. He is at the point where I used to be about 3 or 4 years ago.
He doesn't know what the fuck he's talking about. And so does fucking Seth Rollins or any of the wrestlers, all right? We're not bashing the wrestlers for doing their jobs. We're just bashing on how they fucking are booked and how the storyline is, all right? So take a fucking chill pill, okay? I'm really sick of these WWE wrestlers taking it out on us, the paying customers. We're the paying customers, motherfuckers. We pay to see you, alright? It's not the other way around, alright? So don't take it out on us because your fucking company doesn't know how to do their job, fuckers. But anyway, I digress. Let's go on with the show. Miss booking opportunities. The first one is JBL's WWE title reign in the hole. And the reason why I put this here is because I never cared about JBL in the first place. All right? not only was he the biggest bully in WWE, because we all know he was the biggest fucking bully in the company, but he was also a sad sack of shit of a champion. You wonder why the SmackDown ratings was going down the same year as JBL was champion? That's why. Because the guy was a born fucking WWE champion. I couldn't give two shits about JBL being world champion. I couldn't care. I couldn't care less. Because the guy was fucking boring. Even when he went to JBL, the corporate guy with the fucking money, it still didn't hide the fact that the ratings were going down and his title reign was fucking horrendous. He started having fucking jobbers in his stable, the fucking cabinet. Like, he's the fucking president or something. It was fucking awful.
Who and were the they? Fact, the fucking Orlando Jordan?
Yeah, Orlando Jordan and the Basham brothers.
Oh, my God. The Basham brothers? Oh, yeah, yeah.
And then it didn't help the fact that he had terrible fucking feuds. Remember that fucking awful triple threat fucking barbed wire steel cage match between Kurt Angle, JBL, and fucking Big Show?
I recall that match. It was, let's see. Oh, man, how the hell did that... Yeah, it ended fucked up. Let me see. How did it...
JBL got chokeslammed under the ring and he won.
Yeah. How the hell does that happen?
Maybe because he went through the ring and he touched the floor under the ring or something. I don't know. I don't know how that worked.
Yeah, a bunch of shit. And you're right, man. He did have a shit run. And, you know, the thing about JBL, I was digging that part with him and the Acolytes, okay? This all got started when, I guess, Farouk had either gotten fired or had fucking left or whatever the hell happened. And then
the story was this. Paul Heyman was the SmackDown general manager at the time, right? And the kayfabe reason is that the team APA was going to break up because Paul Heyman broke up, and he wanted JBL to still be an employee, and Paul Heyman fired Farouk, right? JBL had a choice to either stay with Farouk and quit with Farouk or stay in the WWE and have a job and turn heel, and he chose to stay in the WWE and turn heel, and that's how we had the corporate JBL gimmick.
Yeah, he was wearing the suit and the cowboy hat. You know, what was funny was that who can forget that time? It was during the freaking, who was it? It was during the whole thing where they go to fucking, where they go off on Christmas to go, and he was wearing that fucking deal on his head with the cowboy hat. That was fucking stupid, man. Come on. You know what I'm talking about? He was wearing a fucking neck brace and shit, because somebody had busted up his head or something, and he was wearing a fucking one of the big old neck braces, the kind with the little metal wires on it, and he had the stupid cowboy hat on top of it. That was fucking stupid, man. Fucking stupid.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, and then he was part of the Brawl for All. The boxing shit.
Oh, yeah, the Brawl for All. Who was it that knocked him out, fucking beat him down?
I don't know, but those were real. Those were real. Those were shoot fights.
Yeah.
And guess whose brilliant idea that was?
It was Black Bart that knocked him out.
Yeah, but guess whose brilliant idea for the Brawl for All was?
It had to be Vince McMahon.
No, fucking
JBL?
Himself. No,
oh,
fucking Russo. Fucking Russo, that fucking cocksucker. Saying 80. You believe this fucking idiot literally went on fucking online a few weeks ago saying that fucking AEW and fucking WWE are working together? Fucking
Who said
idiot.
This?
Vince Russo.
Damn, you're kidding me.
Fucking idiot.
They're working
the guy wants
together?
Fucking No, that's what he says, but I don't believe anything that
is
motherfucker says.
Is he still trying
says.
To fucking sell subscriptions to his fucking podcast? Is that what it is?
I guess so, because the motherfucker
crazy.
Wants to get I guess so, because that motherfucker wants to get fucking attention because he's so fucking irrelevant. Nobody gives a fuck about him no more. Nobody cares about you, bro. Nobody likes you in the wrestling community, all right? You are the worst fucking writer ever. I don't give a fuck. If you did read a book, I read his fucking book. You ever read his fucking book?
No.
WCW killed Vince Russo. Are you fucking kidding me? That's
Did you
the
read
fucking
it?
Book. I read it and it was a big pile of fucking shit. It was garbage.
Wow, what other books have you read? Have you read a lot of books?
I read fucking China's fucking book. It was fucking awful. God rest her soul. Rest in peace. I know she was going through a lot, but fuck me, her book was fucking awful.
Darn.
Her fucking book was awful.
Any Chris Jericho books? Have you read any Chris Jericho books?
Those are a little bit decent, but they're not as good either. Those are decent. Mick Foley, there was one Mick Foley book, Hardcore Diaries, that was fucking awful. These wrestlers cannot write good books for shit, my brother. I'm telling you right now, they can't write good. They cannot, except for Chris Jericho. He's the only one that can make a good reading book. Because he's actually the only one that's worth reading about.
Oh, shit.
Now, I've only... Edge, too, because he also had his own book, too.
Yeah, I would like to read Edge's book. I think that would be a good book to read, Edge's book. So, he ended up losing the title to fucking Cena, of course.
Yeah. Fucking Boy Scout, yeah.
But, let's see, that happened at WrestleMania... Oh, yeah. He defended at the Royal Rumble against Big Show and Kurt Angle. And what was the deal with him and Kurt Angle? Every time I turned around, Kurt Angle was on his fucking knees sucking JBL's dick at that time.
Kurt Angle was still a heel, mind you. He was feuding with... The whole thing started because of Big Show's fucking girlfriend. I don't know if you remember, Big Show had a TV girlfriend on the called Joy or some shit like that, some girl named called Joy. And then JBL also had a girl named, I don't remember her name. But
Amy Weber?
Two were the two. Yeah, Amy Weber, yeah. Those two were in the Tough Enough season. So they're both, Big Show was boyfriend and girlfriend with Joy, and Amy Weber was working for JBL. JBL set Kurt Angle up because he told Kurt Angle to meet Amy Weber in her bathroom locker room, but instead it was Joy's locker room. And Kurt set JBL up by putting Joy in fucking JBL's limo truck. So that's how the feud started. The triple threat feud, by the way.
Yeah.
Until eventually they both joined forces anyway.
Yeah.
Wow. Good booking. Great booking. Wow. Great booking. Fucking moron.
Fucking JBL.
Yeah. Well, let's continue on with the next world. Let's continue on with the next title reign. Eddie Guerrero's world title reign. Now, I love Eddie Guerrero to death, but his WWE title reign was not that good either. And he knew he wasn't ready because deep down, he even admitted himself that, you know, he was feeling pressured to be the WWE champion. And he felt like himself that he wasn't ready and he was scared that he was going to let a lot of people down. So he personally asked to drop the title. Now, JBL got lucky. He got lucky.
Did you read that in a book or something, or you heard it in an interview? You heard him saying this?
Yeah, he admitted that he felt like he was pressured. This is honest to God truth. He's honest to God facts. He felt like he was pressured. He felt like he could have let a lot of people down as champion because the pressures of a champion, and he personally asked to drop the title to somebody. JBL just got lucky to be there to be the guy to drop the title to. That's it. JBL got lucky because there was no other guys. Brock Lesnar was gone. Kurt Angle was not available at the time. JBL got fucking lucky. But yeah, he was scared. He was nervous.
Yeah, he also caused Guerrero's mother to have a heart attack.
Well, that was after he lost the title.
Ah, okay.
But still, he felt pressured, and I don't think in his mental mind he wasn't ready to be WWE champion.
Yeah.
And it showed. It showed in the title reign, too, because you're world champion and you're cracking joke. Like, you had to take this a little seriously. But I guess him cracking jokes with him getting over nervousness or something.
Yeah.
But I don't know. Eddie's title reign to me is mixed feelings. On one hand, I was happy that he won the championship. But at the other, I also feel like he wasn't ready either.
Well, let me tell you, man. I was not on board with Eddie or Chris Benoit becoming champions. I always thought they were too small for it. But that was beside the point. Don't get me wrong. I was happy for him as an individual.
That's
seven and, you know, as a Latino American and shit to win the fucking big title. That's a big, big deal, you know. And Chris Benoit, too. I was happy for him as an individual. I mean, he was a great worker who was certainly deserving of a good spotlight, but I didn't necessarily agree with him being the world heavyweight champion, the big goal. But I digress on that. But you know what, man? The thing that really stands out about this to me is that fucking Eddie Guerrero got that title by defeating Brock fucking Lesnar. Or no, wait. Yeah, he beat Brock. He ended up beating Brock Lesnar on a title defense or some shit, right?
But not clean.
Yeah, okay.
It wasn't clean. It was because of Goldberg.
Oh, hell. Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah, this was going back a long ways away. WrestleMania 20. Shit, that's quite a ways back.
Yeah,
so, and then him and Chris Benoit had that big moment in the ring and shit.
Uh-huh.
Where WrestleMania 20. That was a good moment for those two. Rest in peace.
Yeah, but coincidentally, they had two horrible title reigns.
Yes, they really did. Yeah, so I had no idea that Eddie had asked about to drop the title. That's insane.
Well, you have to understand why. I mean, to feel the pressure to be the world champion is very fucking, like, heavy.
You know, and I'm telling you what, man. Him being, born and bred into the wrestling business, because that's what he was born and bred into, that business. You know that. You're right. He had to feel a lot of pressure as opposed to just somebody, you know, that just worked their way in there. You know what I mean? Because he was actually born and bred for that shit. So if he didn't feel like he was ready, then yeah, I could see how it would affect his whole fucking psyche and shit. And that could have been one of the reasons why, you know, he also had those drug issues that he had and stuff, because of the pressure that he had. He did have a lot of pressure because, you know, his father and his uncle were legendary wrestlers. He always felt like he had, you know, like he had that over him. So, yeah, man, I could see his pressures that he had. But I never knew about that, about him asking to drop the title. It's insane.
Well, you know what else is insane? The next world title reign. And to me, this was a fucking sham. This one is the worst world title reign. Is right up there in the list of WWE history, and that's Rookie Orton 2004 world title sham, when Randy Orton turned babyface against Evolution and he won the world title, but then had a 1 month, not even a 1 month reign. He lost it on the next pay per view after to Triple H. Triple H. Yeah, Randy Orton got buried.
Yeah.
Essentially, Randy Orton got fucking buried.
Triple H was on his ego trip because he could at that time. And that's, you know, that's what ended up happening. I didn't know what was going on behind the scenes. I wasn't a smart at the time. I can say I'm a smart now, I guess. But at the time, I wasn't a fucking smart. I didn't keep up with any of the dirt sheets or anything. So I didn't know why things happened or that fucking Triple H even had power or anything like that. But yeah, definitely Orton got screwed on that, got the fucking short end of the stick. But, you know, sometimes I wonder if they didn't just give him the title. Because, I don't even know that Orton was necessarily ready for it.
He wasn't ready because Chris Benoit had a terrible title reign. That's why they took the belt off of him in the first place.
See, there you go. Everything has a rhyme and a reason. So yeah, and so he wasn't ready for it. So he intentionally. And so then, obviously, he was a paper champion. And I feel like they did it with him. And in hindsight, it's 2020. Maybe just to give him that honor and prestige of being the youngest champion. Because they knew he was going to be in the business for a long time.
I think they did it because people were getting really sick and tired of seeing Triple H versus Chris Benoit. And they wanted someone to beat Benoit for the title. Someone new, someone different than Triple H. I think that's why they did it.
Yeah. Well, regardless of why they did it, he'll always hold that distinct honor of being, I don't know about always, but at least for now,
he still has
that distinct honor of being the youngest world champion. 24 years old.
Not anymore.
Who?
No, because Nicholas, remember?
Oh, fuck.
Don't forget about fucking Nicholas.
Oh, shit. Will you stop it?
Don't forget about Nicholas.
Oh, hell. Nicholas. All right.
Don't forget about fucking Nicholas.
So, yeah, it was it was a sham, dude. It was a bit of a fucking sham. It's right up there, like you said. Triple H fucking got him back. Do you think that Triple H had to have the title back?
Well, because there was no other real top stars at Raw at the time. It had to be Triple H only. Because people have to understand, who was really one of the main eventers at the time?
Dude? Right. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, fucking H. He was the man. He was my favorite at the time. He was my favorite guy at the time. He was a badass heel.
That's it. Like, he was the only one.
Edge was still developing, dude. Edge was still a skinny dude.
Yeah.
Edge was still just a skinny white dude. Yeah, he was not ready. He was still just a skinny white dude. No. He was working on his shit, though. Edge was already working on his shit, but he didn't really become the badass Edge until what? 2007 or something like that when he became all badass.
I think it was 2006.
Yeah, there you go. 2006.
No.
So yeah.
No, I think it was 2005 with the Matt Hardy and Lita angle.
Oh yeah, man. Oh man, that was good shit.
but and also it didn't help. It didn't help that Randy Orton had to wear different colored tights either. Like, he used to wear red and blue and shit.
Fuck, I don't remember that.
And then there was the one pay-per-view match where he wore the ugliest fucking trunks ever. The worst trunks design ever. The fucking bull skull mask and shit. You ever watched the design for that shit? That was awful.
Of which one?
It was one where, you know, he had fucking bullhorns on his fucking trunk.
Oh, no, I don't remember that. But you know what? I'm looking at a picture of him now when he became the world heavyweight champion. He's wearing some fucking creamsicle-colored panties.
It's awful.
They're fucking creamsicle-colored, bro. Oh, my God.
That match was 33 minutes long. SummerSlam.
Wow.
Fucking hell.
Well, so then he ended up getting the title again, or what? And he had a long 210-day title reign?
No, he got the title again all the way to 2011 when he won it against Christian. Yeah, Randy Orton never became the world champion again until 2011. He won the WWE title in 2008 or 9, but not the world championship. Those are completely two different titles.
Yeah, you're right.
But even with that title reign, it sucked. Let's face it. Randy Orton was a terrible world champion, but he was a fucking great WWE champion.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Going through Randy Orton.
Let's go to what the fuck moments. The first what the fuck moment. Yeah.
What the fuck moment.
Yeah. The first one. The first one is Kane acting more human in 2004. Now, what I mean is, like, the same thing with Undertaker doing the American Badass.
What the fuck was that?
When Kane returns to stop the Team Canada stable, remember Team Canada with Test and fucking Lance Storm and fucking Christian almost burning the American flag? And Kane returned and did the fucking spin-a-rooney and shit.
Oh, yeah,
fucking
man.
Awful.
Fucking Kane. I didn't like that at all. I didn't like that at all, dude. That was the worst time of Kane for me, dude.
And then he says Tori backstage, Tori Reynolds, while celebrating winning the tag titles with the Hurricane. That's what I mean about becoming more human. Because he wasn't acting like the big red monster from the 90s. He was acting like Glenn Jacobs, and I fucking hated it. It ruined the Kane character.
Yeah, I was having a real hard time dealing with Kane at that time, too. I didn't like the changes they brought about. I didn't like it at all. The whole fucking thing.
Especially the storyline with fucking Katie Vick.
Oh, I know, man. That's exactly what I was about to say.
Imagine Kane fucking getting drunk in a fucking nightclub. What the fuck? You mean to tell me? No, that was the story. Kane gets drunk in a fucking nightclub, right? A night party. While wearing the mask. So he went with casual clothes on, but still kept the mask on, and went fucking in a drunk bender. Went on a fucking bender, and then asked her friend Katie Vick to take them home or something, right? And then they had a fucking car crash or something, and somehow car crash, and then there was fucking vomit in the car, and Katie Vick fucking died. That's the story.
Damn.
A fucking bender.
Damn it, dude. What year was that?
2003 and 4.
Is that when you said was the worst year, 2004?
No, 2003 was the worst.
Was the most fucked up year?
Yeah.
The most fucked up year with the fucked up stories?
Yeah,
what
fucking
about
Kane going on.
What about the Hurricane fucking giving Triple H an enema?
Well, that wasn't the Hurricane. That wasn't Hurricane. That was just a fucking segment. Actually, they did that twice. Actually, they did the same thing twice with JR, with Vince McMahon.
God damn.
So that wasn't new.
Vince McMahon was fucking, man, that was fucking crazy shit, dude. That's too crazy even for me, man.
Fender Bender Kane. That's what I'm going to call the drunk Kane from 2003. Fender Bender Kane.
From 2000 when to when?
2003. Fender Bender Kane. Because apparently he went on a fucking bender in a nightclub and fucking killed a girl named Katie Vick. Yeah, and then fucking killed her, apparently.
Oh, my God.
No, this is the same man that fucking burned his brother in a fucking casket, and he feels sorry killing a girl in a fucking nightclub. Wow, what good character development there. What good character progression right there. What good character. Retcon.
Right.
They try to...
If anything, they should have just showed him walking away from the car with a fucking evil grin.
Well, no, that would have been too far, though. I mean, murder is fucking too far.
But having sex with her wasn't too far. Who had sex with her? Let's see. Did he have sex with a corpse?
No, that was Triple H.
That was Triple H with a fucking mannequin.
But you know what you know what the most fucked up part of it was?
That.
In the same funeral building they were doing the segment, there was actually a funeral being held the next door.
Fuck. Man, that's fucking fucked up. You know what? I have no doubt either. Because when you go to one of these places, there's always, you know, more than one fucking room. So, yeah, I don't doubt that at all. Fuck, man. They were over here shooting a fucking crazy segment while there was a dead person and fucking service going on next door. Get the fuck out of here. That's too much even for me, dude. Damn.
Yeah. But you know what? Speaking of fender benders, this goes into a great segue. Jey Uso, DUI. Yeah, that's right. Fucking Jey Uso and Naomi get fucking drunk one night. Fucking badass
one
Samoan
night.
Right here. Yeah, badass Samoan right here gets out of fucking car, takes off his shirt, and wants to fight one of the fucking police officers in the fucking street at the dead of the
fuck
night.
Get out of here.
What the fuck?
Oh, fuck, dude.
Literally, the fucking clown hobbled on the fucking road, fucking hobbling like a fucking drunk penguin, takes off his fucking shirt and wants to fight a fucking police officer, literally screaming while smelling like fucking liquor all over his body on the officer.
Yeah, man, out of control, dude.
He is lucky he didn't get curb stomped on the fucking curb.
He is. He really fucking is. Yeah, he is. He's
those
lucky.
Motherfuckers will break your fucking windshield with your fucking head.
He sure the fuck will, man. Yeah, he got fucking lucky, man. Huh?
And what did Naomi do? Nothing. She just sat in the car doing absolute fucking nothing. She didn't even try to stop her husband in nothing. She just sat there being useless.
Ugh, a useless fucking skank.
She was also drunk, by the way.
I'll tell you what, man.
So,
and that's the thing about the Usos, dude, is that they're lucky to be there because they don't have... Those guys, you know, they get drunk. That wasn't the first time they do that. They do that all the time. You can see it. They're not in the best shape, you know.
This was the same weekend when they won the tag titles.
Damn.
Motherfucker. So they get pulled over for a DUI, but they get rewarded for fucking titles? Are you kidding me? Fucked up.
Wow. So what, the next night he won the fucking title or what?
The tag titles, yeah.
Damn.
Fender banners all over. And then there's also segues to the next what the fuck moment. WWE wrestling mugshot. You think the Usos are the only fucking alcoholics? Fuck no. 15 fucking mugshots of fucking WWE wrestlers all being fucking hauled off to fucking jail. These are the people you look up to, people. Back then, these are the people. Awful. Which ones are the most ugliest ones to you, Minister? Because they're all fucking ugly to me.
Oh, man. Well, Big Show stands out. The fucking X-Pac stands out. Jericho. I mean, not Jericho. Fucking Brock Lesnar has a stupid fucking look on his face. Who, by the way, got off. He got off on his. He fucking got off. There were felony charges.
I wonder why.
Right?
I wonder why.
The scariest one is fucking Sandman.
Yeah, well, that fucker's a fucking mess.
Yeah, man, that guy.
he's a fucking mess.
Scott Hall was fucking pretty messy too, man.
Yeah, but Scott Hall.
Who can forget the numerous?
Scott Hall and Sandman? No, Scott Hall is a saint.
Yeah, no.
Fucking
Sandman looks like he was up to fucking burglary or something when they caught him.
He looked demonic.
He looked like he was fucking burglarizing something for crack or some crazy shit.
Well, fucking hell.
Fucking Jericho looked like he was in the middle of a good time.
Yeah.
Then, of course, there's that fucking ultimate skank. Sonny.
Awful. She's in trouble again, by the way.
How many? Holy fuck.
Well, maybe Sable. No, it's Sonny. She's in trouble again. She may go to prison again, by the way. I don't know if that's true or not. That's a rumor.
Damn.
It's a rumor. I don't know if she's going to prison or not again. I don't know. It's a rumor that's been spread. I feel bad for her.
Yeah, I do too.
The years have not been too kind on her.
No, definitely not. Definitely not.
Yeah, fucking hell.
What was fucking Ted DiBiase Posse Jr. fucking after crashing his vehicle, driving under the influence? Ted DiBiase Posse Jr.
Fucking hell. Fucking hell. They're all fucking mess.
Karma, DWI.
Fucking hell.
Dude,
especially.
What about Stone Cold beating up fucking Deborah?
Well, I don't know how to feel about that one. That one's fucking shocking to me. I didn't know he was a wife beater.
Yeah. Yeah, that was a shocker. I'm sure Deborah pushed his fucking buttons, but still, that's regardless.
Yeah, but he's better now.
But what about fucking Big Show exposing himself? God, allegedly,
well,
I should say. Allegedly.
Well, I don't know.
He beat
but
that. It was dropped.
Yeah. Well, I do know that. Is RVD one of the mock shots? I would think so.
I did not see him.
Well, I don't know
I'm on the video. I'm watching the video again right now.
I'm surprised New Jack isn't even on one of these mock shots.
Yeah, I know, man. I wonder what happened there. Where's the New Jack mugshot? You know there's got to be one or two floating around. See where the fuck we're at. So, what the fuck moment.
What the fuck is going on?
Yeah, stop. But you know what? Let's go move on to what if scenarios.
What if scenarios?
The first segment, what if Kane never got unmasked? So what if Kane never took off the mask and he stayed that way for the rest of his career? I would say good, because I don't want to see his ugly fucking face.
Yeah, I'd say yes too. I think that would have been the best thing ever, man, if we would have never seen him. Not because he's ugly and all, but just because, you know, just stay with the fucking with the character, man. You could still change him and, you know, certain things about him, but just keep the mask on him. I think that would have been really cool.
Mm-hmm.
I think I would have enjoyed his career.
Let's not forget that Kane was originally called Yosefich because he was a fucking dentist at one point. A dentist gimmick.
Dr. Yankum?
Yeah, fucking awful.
Yeah, that was fucking terrible, man. Yeah, I've always been a Kane fan, except for, you know, he's had his moments where I'm like, what the fuck? He's had a lot of those what the fuck moments, so.
And the fake Diesel.
Yeah, the fake Diesel. You could forget that. Fuck. The fake Diesel. You know, I did not know that until years later, dude. So
fake
after the fact. Yeah, I did not
know
that until after the fact.
You know what? He looked more better than Kevin Nash in real life. That's a fucking shame.
Oh shit. So yeah, Kane.
The next
never
one?
Unmasked. Yes.
Yeah. Next one, Undertaker staying as the American Badass for a little while longer. What about that, Chuck? Well, what if he stayed as the American Badass a little while longer?
I don't think I would have had a problem with it. I didn't mind the Harley. What did you think about it?
I thought it was okay. Up until the point where he started acting like a fucking hillbilly bumpkin with the feud against Ric Flair.
Oh, yeah, man. That was not cool.
When
they jumped the shark on that, dude.
When he started touching his fucking crotch constantly and started chewing cud, he started to look like a fucking hillbilly.
Yeah, you're right, dude. That yeah, that's when they jumped the shark with that, dude. That's when they jumped
the
fucking shark with that.
And the fact that he dyed his hair to look like a fucking ginger.
Yeah. He looked like a fucking real life Chucky doll.
Fucking hillbilly bumpkin taker.
Yeah, that was not cool.
Fucking Undertaker is a horrible.
Jump the shark.
Undertaker is a horrible American Badass heel. He's horrible with it. Fucking horrible.
It started out badass, and then they fucking just gradually fucking just turned it to shit, dude. Just like everything else. It sure did, man. Now that you bring it up, dude, I had forgot. I think about Undertaker as the American Badass, and I think like when he first came out, he was all badass and shit. And then you start putting it all together, dude, and it just fucking gradually turns to fucking shit right before our very eyes, bro. How long did that last in total?
That lasted until 2004.
So what was it, 2 years?
It was actually 2000. That was 4 years.
Four fucking years. God damn it.
Because he had a groin injury. Because he had a groin injury.
Yeah. Hey, well, shit, since we're talking about The Undertaker, bro, let me sidetrack you for a little bit and get your thoughts
on... I know what the fuck you're going to say. And I don't fucking like it, alright? I know what you're about to fucking say, and I fucking hate it.
What are your thoughts?
I know what you're about to say.
Featured as the fucking headliner again. God damn it, holy fuck.
But do you know who the opponent is?
No, who is the, let's see, who the fuck is it? I read about it.
Oh, you want to know?
I'm just so uninterested, bro. Yeah, but spill it on me, man. I forgot already, but I did read about it. Oh, yeah.
Baron Corbin.
Drew McIntyre, they're saying.
Nope, they changed their mind. They're saying Baron fucking Corbin.
You're fucking kidding me.
I'm not fucking kidding you.
Oh, my God.
Fucking Baron Corbin at SummerSlam. Are you fucking real?
You're kidding me.
Are you fucking real?
But nobody likes Baron Corbin. Why are they sticking with him?
Because Vince McMahon apparently has a hard-on for him. That's why. Fuck's sakes. Baron fucking Corbin. Or maybe it will be Drew. I don't know. Either way, it's going to be shit.
Yeah.
But you know what? Let's talk about John Cena's heel run. What should have been his heel run in 2006. Because guess what? After WrestleMania 22, the boos started happening. People were starting to boo John Cena in 2006, and that was the moment he should have turned heel. But nope, they kept him face because of the kids. Well, how's this, right? I don't think WWE understands how kids feel nowadays. Don't you think that the kids will actually find Cena more cool if he was a heel? Wouldn't they actually like him being the bad guy? Because doesn't kids actually like bad guys more than the heroes?
I would say so, man. I mean, I never grew out of it. I was a kid my whole fucking life. I never grew out of the heel. Not like, I mean,
when
you know, to me, man, I love Tully Blanchard and I love Ric Flair. And those were the two big fucking heels.
Let me ask the kids who are probably listeners to this, right? You watch Transformers. Which team are you going to like the most? Are you going to like the Autobots or are you going to like the Decepticons? Obviously, you're going to pick the Decepticons because they're much cooler.
Yeah. See, I don't know. I've never watched Transformers. So I don't know anything about them. But yeah, I would definitely pick the heels.
Yeah. Why else do you think kids liked the NWO? Because they were cool.
Yes, sir. Uh-huh.
So what's your response for John Cena should have turned heel in 2006?
Yeah, man. You know, it was... To me, at the time, I still didn't keep up with the fucking dirt sheets. So it was like, I was confused as to why the fans were booing him. You know, I didn't understand why the fans were booing him because, you know, he was the way they were booking him as a babyface, right? But then I started seeing, you know, how they were and noticing how they fucking booked him to always look fucking weak or, you know, to and be the comeback guy. You know what I mean? They always gave him the fucking, you know, man, the underdog type role. And it's like, well, why the fuck are they booking him like that? But at the time, because I was still a WWE apologist, I gravitated towards that, and I was like, well, fuck it. I'll ride along with it. He's a fucking bad guy because the people fucking don't like him, but he's booked like a baby face.
Here's the question for you. Who's booked worse like that? John Cena or Roman Reigns? My guess is Roman.
I would have to say Roman as well, dude. Roman is the ultimate
Roman
fucking chump, bro.
Roman is worse than John Cena.
And you know why? It's because we just all saw them go through that with fucking Cena for 13 fucking years, dude, or 14, or fucking 12 years, however long it fucking was.
And you know what? Say what you want about Cena, but at least with Cena, he brings out great matches sometimes with people. Roman has not had a great match with anyone in fucking years, in a while. Say what you want about Cena, but at least Cena had some good matches with rivalries, all right? Roman has not had a good match in fucking years.
Yeah, I remember some good Cena matches as well. And that was when I, like, shortly after that was when I started checking out the dirt sheets and shit. I think it was that Cena, the fans booing him and stuff, that made me start looking into what's going on with wrestling news and shit. And that's when I started reading comments and shit. And then I realized what was going on. But yeah, man, I have to agree with you. I think, and see, the thing is, man, is that we've already seen that with John Cena. Why would they repeat it exactly the same way, knowing damn well that the people are fucking sick of that? Not only
you look at
fucking wrestling from back when they were making, you know, dude, man, there was, I got to tell you, Christian, you see that era, right, that we were talking about, with fucking Chris Benoit and fucking Eddie Guerrero were tag team champions and WWE champions. And then you jump just a few short years after that, dude, and the people that are fucking champions are fucking Jack Swagger and who else is fucking champion during that? I don't remember. I think it was still Cena or somebody else had, but still, dude, they had Jack Swagger in there, dude.
Yeah, but those were still entertaining times.
Yo, don't get me wrong. I mean, I'm not saying that they weren't entertaining, but still, dude, Jack, that's where they fucking started demeaning these fucking titles, dude. I mean, for me, dude, like, it was bad enough, dude, that fucking Rey Mysterio and fucking Chris Benoit, being as small as they are, had the world heavyweight title, dude. It was bad enough for me having to deal with it because of their size, okay? But then, you compare them to Jack Swagger. And Jack Swagger, even though he has the size, he's fucking useless, dude.
Yeah. But he is a damn good athlete. I have to give him that, though.
Oh, yeah. He's definitely a great athlete. Definitely a great athlete. But, I mean, you know, his wrestling was subpar as opposed to the fucking Rey Mysterios and the fucking... Chris Benoit's and shit, you know, and not just him, dude. Fucking JBL. I mean, you know, and then there was some other guys that you had after fucking Jack Swagger. They had a whole fucking chain of people at the time, dude. They just went through them one after. They were playing fucking hotcakes with the title, dude.
I remember the worst one, the Great Khali.
Oh my god, dude. The dude could barely fucking move.
And the fact
they only
every
did
time
that
listen,
because they went, they were going to India or some shit.
No, they didn't. They never went to India.
Ugh, fuck. So then, why did they even bother giving that dude the fucking title, dude?
Because he was the next monster at the time. That's why.
Oh shit, dude! He couldn't even fucking take a fall.
I don't know. But every time he raised the belt, he always held the belt upside down. That frustrated me so much.
Yeah. And pay attention to how you're going to pick up the fucking belt. Come on. It's like the one job you have. Pick up the belt
the
right
same
way.
Title. That is the same title that Triple H put so much hard work into it and Batista, and you're fucking ruining it.
Yeah.
He's fucking ruining it. But, and then there was Kane that one time he became world champion.
Kane?
Yeah. Remember investigating the attack of Undertaker shit? That was actually the best mic work Kane has ever did in his whole career. No lie.
The best what?
That was the best promos he ever cut it in that time.
Yes. You know, man, and that's the problem, dude. They took away all that from him. That, to me, I've always liked Kane. But he was doing his best. You're absolutely right, dude. He was doing his best work right there and showed that he's capable of doing the badass promos and shit. And then they just fucking took it away.
Yeah, in the most predictable way, it was shown that he attacked Undertaker. But you know what? They had a perfect opportunity to make him a mega babyface there, and they fucking ruined it.
Wow.
Fuck off. It's fucking awful. That's probably going to be the next week's show. You know what? We're done about that. Because right now, we're going to talk about the nitty-gritty. We're going to find out who won the prediction. We're going to find out who won the prediction game for Stomping Shit Grounds.
Right.
And I, the great Swami, predicted something that nobody else predicted, and it came true on that pay-per-view. And you're going to find out what that is.
The fucking Swami. Why don't we take a break, and we'll come back with that.
All right, let's take a quick commercial break.
How you doing?
Until then, here's the advertising commercial break.
Yeah, I'll be right back.
Out of time, so say goodbye. What is yours, now is mine. And I dream broken dreams. I make them come true. I make them for you.
Looking for some wholesome family fun? Tune in Thursdays to the World Generation Podcast Network for Christian Family Values. WWE Watchdog Christian from Philly, his father, the Joker, and mother, Big Mama, gather around a campfire for a weekly chat about wrestling that is guaranteed to blow your mind. That's Thursday, right here on the World Generation Podcast Network. Check your local list.
Generation Podcast Network. Please like us on Facebook at World Generation or on Twitter at World Generation Podcast. And now back to the show.
Chances. Now it's time to show you we're wrong. In the rain, this is poor. All you suck, stuff strong.
day in, day out, the wolf pack for life. Tell me who has the guts to come in the ring tonight. Don't care about the replicas, we make our own rules. You don't have what it takes to fill their shoes. See, it's just a crowd pleaser, on the ground to leave. You're the punishment for making enemies with these soldiers. So turn your back on the wolf pack.
Welcome back to Radio Renegades. I am your host, Christian from Philly, and my co-host, Minister of Sinister. And right now, we are starting the Stomping Grounds predictions. But first, let's give our opinions on what was the worst match of that pay-per-view, first of all. I have my pick, and I know Minister has his pick. I'm going to say my pick first before we start the predictions. My worst match of the pay-per-view has got to go with fucking Bayley versus Alexa Bliss. That match was complete dog shit. I hated it. Those two were horrible as always. And now they're gonna have another fucking match for the title at Extreme Rules. Oh my god. Minister, what's your worst pick?
Yeah, I have to go with that match as well. We seem to agree on a lot of the picks on this match, on this pay-per-view going in. And even on the coming out of the pay-per-view, I have to agree with you on the worst match with Bayley and Alexa Bliss. Just a bad match, and it got a lot of time, too. That 10 fucking minutes, dude. 10 fucking minutes. It could have been over in fucking 4 or 5. I mean, shit, man. Just a bad match from the ladies.
Tell me why it was awful.
Well, you know, man, I just didn't care for the match itself. Dude, botch, it seemed like they were fucking, it seemed like their moves were planned out, but like not orchestrated properly. And it just looked like a bad, it didn't come off good on TV for me. It didn't come off good at
and
all.
And now they're going to have a rematch at Extreme Rules.
Yeah. I am, not looking forward to that.
Fucking, these two are fucking horrible with each other. No wonder they never wrestled in NXT. It shows. And you know what? Even though Alexa Bliss said that Bayley peaked, guess what? I'm sorry to say this, dude, but they both fucking peaked. They both fucking peaked.
It certainly seems that way. It certainly seems that way.
Both fucking peaked.
What do you think is going on with Nikki Cross? Are they going to eventually turn her baby face against Alexa Bliss? Is that what this is leading to?
She is a baby face. She's just being used.
Yeah,
she's not a heel.
Yeah.
She's the female version of Eugene. She's the female version of Eugene.
Oh, fuck, man. Oh, fuck. Well, shit, let's move on then. Let me get my marker.
All right.
Fucking Alexa Bliss. I can still bang the shit out of her, though.
Yeah, but she's shit now. All right, so let's go to the pre-show first.
We have pre-show match. Was that the fucking Drew Gulak?
Yeah, we both got it wrong.
We both went for Tony Nese on that, so I shall put an X. Okay, that got an X.
Which I'm surprised, because that just makes Tony Nese a terrible champion. That makes him an awful champion. You mean to tell me he holds the belt for only two pay-per-views and loses it already?
As opposed to Buddy Murphy
and Cedric Alexander.
Right.
Fuck out of here. Awful.
Yeah. It is awful.
I'm not gonna say the cruiser match was good, because it's everything I've seen already from a cruiserweight match. All right? I've seen these moves already. It's every fucking cruiserweight match I've ever seen. So it's not a good match, all right? It was decent. What was your thoughts on the match?
No, I didn't catch the pre-show.
Oh, you didn't miss much.
Yeah,
you didn't miss
so
much. So let's start the pay-per-view. Let's start the pay-per-view with Becky Lynch versus Lacey Evans. You know what? This is just dessert. This bitch was main eventing WrestleMania, and now she's the curtain jerker for a pay-per-view. How the mighty have fallen.
That was the opening match?
Yeah.
The curtain jerker. Oh, shit. So what did you think of this match? In a singles match.
It was fucking
match,
awful.
And we both got it right.
It was
and
awful.
For some reason, I put X's. So
it was
I
awful.
Put check marks instead.
Yeah, it was awful.
Yeah, what was awful about it?
No, it's fucking boring. Lacey Evans
yeah.
is a fucking awful wrestler. Lacey Evans is a fucking awful wrestler, and I was right all along. I knew it. I knew she's a fucking awful wrestler.
Why do you suppose that they're giving her so much TV time?
It's because she's a woman. That's why. I don't know.
Well, that could be it. I mean, that could be it. I mean, who else do they have, really? I mean, we haven't seen fucking a lot of these people in a while, dude. The one with the fucking muffin top on her waist.
She's on SmackDown. Mickie James?
No, Mickie James is injured right now. That's why we haven't seen her.
Oh, Sarah Logan?
No, not Sarah Logan. The other one, a little blonde.
Liv Morgan?
Yes, that one.
Oh, she got punished because of a pole.
Huh.
Yeah, you know.
So, I mean, I guess that's why they're using Lacey, because, yeah, man, she's just, you know, they're giving her this little mini TV time right now, but it's going to lead to nothing. She's still going to be a jobber.
She already has go away heat, by the way.
That's pretty rough.
So her career
is
already
over. Right. So we both got that one right.
Her career is already over.
Yeah.
All right. I don't remember the next match. What was it?
Well, let's just do them in the order that we have here, okay? Wrote them down in. And I wrote them down with, we predicted the opening match.
Well, let's save those for the end, the extra credit.
What, these?
All right, so, yeah, the extra
all
credits.
Right, all right,
save
all
right. For the end. All right, let's just go random. I don't care. Let's say Samoa Joe versus Ricochet.
Yeah, Joe. We both said that Joe would retain, and we both lost on that. We both got X's because Joe did not retain, and we have a fucking new champion in Ricochet. What are your thoughts on Ricochet capturing the title, bro? What the fuck?
It's great, but... Here's the thing. I'm seeing fucking idiots online saying that this was a good match. Did they saw the same match that we saw? Did they not see the same match that we saw?
Yeah.
This match wasn't good. Don't fucking say it's great because Ricochet won, because it wasn't a fucking great match, all right? Joe was fucking lazy as fuck in this match. He was phoning it in.
Oh, my God, dude. Man, you're pointing that out, man. And fuck, dude, it is amazing to see how fucking, how, is he hurt? Why is he performing like that lately?
It's because he admits that he's only doing this for a paycheck now.
Yeah, because he already got his contract. So, wow.
He's just doing this for a paycheck.
Paycheck and going through the motions.
This is Kevin Nash type phoning it in now.
Yeah.
Fucking terrible.
Yeah, I remember we texted during that match, and you mentioned that Joe was phoning it in. Yep.
And he was fucking awful.
Yep.
All right.
Fucked in. All right, let's see here. Let's go to KO and Zane.
Well, I don't. We were both right on that. We said KO and Zane.
And they defeated Big E and Xavier Woods. So yes, we both said that.
I don't give a fuck. This match was pointless.
Yeah, inconsequential match.
I don't care if they said it was a good match. It was pointless. There was nothing to it. Nothing was at stake. This match shouldn't even happen to begin with. I've seen these two teams face each other every week on SmackDown and Monday. Why the fuck would I care about them facing each other in a fucking pay-per-view?
Yeah, unless it's a fucking bull rope match or some type of fucking shit where, you know, it's going to be the end. I don't want to see it.
Awful. Next, it was...
Yeah, it was inconsequential, man.
Yeah. Next, Daniel Bryan and Eric Rowan versus Heavy Machinery for the tag titles. We were both right there.
What do you think about...
We said that...
The Redwood.
Fucking...
Now
Bjorn.
All of a sudden, he's the Redwood. Pretty
well,
soon,
that's what Kevin Owens,
they're going to fucking start calling him Redwood, and then after that, they're just going to just chop the fucking wood and just start calling him Red.
Well, I have the new name for the label lock.
What is it?
The environmental lock.
The environmental lock. That's all right.
But the match itself was fucking
lockdown or whatever the fuck.
Yeah. But the match itself was fucking boring.
Oh,
I couldn't give two fucking shit. The
Heavy
crowd was awesome though.
Jump the shark.
The crowd was awesome though.
The crowd was hot during that match for Daniel Bryan, dude. Well, there was a hometown crowd.
Yeah, so that was
Home
the only good thing in that match.
So, yeah.
Yeah.
The crowd was hot in that match. You're absolutely right. Let's go to Kofi Kingston.
Versus Dolph Ziggler. It should have been me. We both said Kofi. We were right.
We did.
And... this match was boring, too. Like, holy fuck. This match was actually way boringer than the Super Showdown match.
Way boringer. Yeah.
This was actually more bad than the Super Showdown match.
It was fucked up, dude.
But the finish was great.
It reminded me of the finish again.
Kofi jumped through the steel
door.
Oh,
yeah, yeah. He jumped through the fucking doors. That's fucking, it should have been me.
Yeah.
He gave him another reason to fucking cry and say it should have been him.
No, but yeah.
I gave him just one more reason to fucking cry about. It should have been me going through that door. It should have been me. Fucking pussy. That fucking pussy.
Now we have Samoa Joe versus Kofi Kingston for no reason whatsoever for the WWE Championship at Extreme Rules now.
Another match where fucking Joe is going to phone it in and he's going to lose.
Mind you.
He's gonna
mind
lose.
You,
Samoa Joe's gonna lose his match.
Mind you, Joe is a Raw superstar and he's challenging for a SmackDown title.
Oh shit! The whole thing is. I mean, how are they gonna handle it when Fox comes around, bro?
I don't fucking know. That's Eric Bischoff's job. Anyway, what's next? What's next in this card? I completely forgot. Fuck me.
Seth Rollins.
No. Bayley versus Alexa Bliss.
Fuck it. You said Bayley retains, and I said Alexa Bliss wins because of her ass alone.
Well, I won in that.
You
point.
Were right.
You should have known better.
I should have. You're absolutely right. But I went with that
ass. But that still doesn't change the fact that this was a fucking garbage match.
It was. Let's see. The whole match, it had fucking... we saw... what's her face out there with Alexa Bliss?
But she didn't do jack shit.
Yeah. You're right. And then we had an interesting turn of events, though. Okay, so you got that one right, and I got that one wrong. But let me talk about the interesting turn of events that we had.
What?
Bayley lost the match now to fucking Nikki fucking Cross.
Yeah, but that was for Alexa to face Bayley at Extreme Rules.
So Alexa is facing Bayley again at Extreme Rules. Great.
Yeah.
Was she gonna win at Extreme Rules or is she gonna lose again?
Fuck no. She's a Raw superstar. That makes no sense for her to win a SmackDown title.
Interesting. Fuck. When is this fucking next pay-per-view, dude?
July something. Date. July 13th.
All right. Okay.
And it's here, Philadelphia. I'm not going.
I don't fucking blame you, dude.
I'm not fucking going. Let's see. What else? What else in this fucking match?
Drew
yeah,
McIntyre.
That's right. Versus, we both got that wrong. We're just fucked up. Because are you... You mean to tell me that Shane McMahon couldn't win, right? But Drew McIntyre can't?
I know, dude.
Are you telling me that even though Shane McMahon hit Roman with his finisher, Drew still can't beat Roman? Are you fucking real? You know how bad this makes Drew look?
Yeah, dude. It's fucked up, bro. And Drew, you know what, dude? Drew looks like he's got a fucked up look on his face out there. He doesn't look like he's having too much fun with this, bro.
No, he's not.
Is it me just seeing that, or are you seeing that too?
I'm seeing that he's getting frustrated.
Yeah, it looks that way, dude.
All right, so...
I don't know how this ends, but I just hope it doesn't end with Drew as a baby face.
I don't care.
I'm not ready for that.
All right, so next is... I guess it's the main event. Yeah, Seth Rollins versus Lacey Evans. I mean, Seth Rollins versus Baron Corbin. We both said... We both said Seth Rollins wins.
And we were both right.
And it was one of the worst. It was one of the worst main events of a pay per view ever.
Right.
Awful. All right. So
Seth
now
Rollins
it's time for the extra credit.
Baron fucking Corbin. You know, there was a time or two when I thought Baron Corbin was a man, dude. There was a time or two where they sold it to me that that we were going to get a new champion and I was going to be able to come over here and gloat. But that didn't happen. Seth fucking Rollins.
Yeah, the sellout. Seth Rollins, the sellout.
Yeah, fucking sellout.
Well,
so
now it's time for next
we had the guest referee special question.
We'll save that for the last.
Well, this is, we're there now. Oh, wait, we've got another match. The opening match. Samoa Joe versus Ricochet.
We already said that. Let's do an extra credit question. We already said
that. Yeah, but we called for the opening match.
Oh, that's right, yeah. We're both wrong.
No, I said New Day versus KO and Zayn would be the opening match, and I was right.
No, Becky Lynch and Lacey Evans was the opening match.
Are you sure?
Yeah, Becky Lynch and Lacey Evans was the opening match for the pay-per-view.
God damn it.
We were both wrong. That's why we said she was the curtain jerker, because she opened the show with the match.
Yeah, but I was just following your lead on that. I gotta check this out, bro. Because
go ahead. She opened the match. She opened the pay-per-view. She opened the match.
Motherfucker. Damn it. All right, so again I was wrong. On that, so that was extra credit, and we were both wrong on that.
Yeah.
All right. Okay. So now we do the other
next
extra
one.
Credits. The guest referee. You said Lacey Evans would be the guest referee, and you were right, and I was wrong.
Mm-hmm.
I called Bray fucking Wyatt. Yeah, you had your Swami hat on. And then, was there an injury?
We both said no.
No, I said yes, there would be. I said yes. Was there an injury? I didn't read about any injury, did you?
No, there was no injury. I said no.
So you got that one right? And I got that big old X on that. And then we had heel turns. There was no heel turn.
No.
So we both got that right. Extra match.
And then
is there an extra match?
Well, you said Usos versus the Revival.
Yeah, but it didn't ever happen.
I don't know why the fuck they announced it then.
They did it. I saw that it was announced. Did you see it?
No.
Yeah.
Or maybe I missed
it.
I texted you that
they were going to have that match, and then I never saw that
maybe
match.
Maybe they cut it.
Yeah, but anyway, we both said no, that there would not be an extra match. So I guess
we were both right on
that.
Yeah.
And then
we said
here. Go ahead.
Then we said, will they mention Brock Lesnar cashing in?
Yes.
We said yes.
And they did mention.
And then the last extra credit question is, will he cash in? And we both said no.
And the fucking total, dude, you fucking blew me out. You got three extra right than I did. Let me see. Here's the official fucking tally, dude. I'm going to count mine first because somehow I know I lost. So I got, let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 right. So Christian from Philly. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 Yeah, you beat me by 3.
Oh, I fucking destroyed you. I destroyed you.
The new champion, Christian from Philly, folks. Give him a big old round of applause. Destroyed me.
What
yeah, you did.
What a shit pay-per-view.
Man, it was, dude. Things have got to change for the better very soon, bro.
How fucking dare Seth Rollins go on Twitter saying that WWE has the best professional wrestling, period. Fucking shameful. What the fuck is he talking about?
Yeah. Fucked up, dude.
Well, you know what?
What?
That's all the time we have for tonight for Radio Renegades. I have been your host, Christian from Philly, and Minister of Sinister, as always. Say goodnight to the lovely audience, Minister.
Good night, motherfuckers. Lovely audience. You can also catch me on Bras, Panties, and Sports on the Old Grumpy Radio Network. Check it out. And until next time, peace, motherfuckers. Oh, wait a minute.
And also,
should I do my keep it real, keep it heel? Yeah, why the fuck?
Yeah.
Until next time, keep it real, keep it heel, and as always, keep it sexy. Peace.
Now always catch us on Christian Family Values this Thursday, and also Radio Renegade, and also Fatal 4-Way Radio on Fridays. Radio Renegades at Saturdays, and T-Rock returning for AEW Fallout in the near future when AEW comes out. But until then, good night, everybody. Have a lovely weekend. Good night, everybody.
Presentation of the World Generation Podcast Network.